Now let's continue on with Bible Answers to Evangelicals, number 9. Since we're here in the book of John, let's come to John 3, and let's see the testimony of the other John, John the Baptist. All right. Let's pick it up here in verse 30, talking about his ministry. And remember, John the Baptist was called the greatest prophet of all, and he did no miracles. But how long was his ministry? 6 to 9 months, that's all. 6 to 9 months. They couldn't stand him. They couldn't, you know, they had to get rid of him. Same way with Christ. How long was his ministry? I gave a sermon on that. 3.5 year ministry of Christ. They couldn't stand him any longer than 3.5 years. And how many disciples did he end up with at the end? 120. See, so it's not numbers. See, it's truth. So John said here, verse 30, it's ordained that he increase and that I decrease. He who comes from above is above all. Where did Jesus come from? Where is above? You know, out of the attic of your house? No, from heaven. Okay? The one who is of the earth is earthy and speaks of the earth. The one who is from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, this is what he testifies, but no one receives his testimony. The one who has received his testimony has set his seal that God is true. And if God is true, that means his word is true, right? Can God lie? No. It's impossible for God to lie. All right. We'll talk about his word here in just a little bit. For he whom God sent speaks the words of God. All right? So that tells us the whole message of Christ contains what? The words of God. From whom? The Father and the one who became the Son, who brought the Father's words. Right? Yes. Now, is anyone afraid to redact or take away from, have a lightweight Bible? Better be. Now we're going to see what Jesus says about not heeding his words here in just a little bit. And God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands. The one who believes in the Son, and that means active, ongoing, believing and doing and obeying, we'll see in a minute, has everlasting life. But the one who does not obey, now there's that little word they don't like. Obey the Son shall not see life, for the wrath of God remains on him. What did Jesus say? He said, if you love me, keep the commandments, namely mine. Are you going to obey the Son? Now let's look some more about the words of Christ. Now this is simple and easy. This is a fast track to salvation, supposedly. This is the difference between a drive-in restaurant and going to the library. And the library being the Word of God. Now let's come to Matthew 7. Matthew the 7th chapter, and let's see some things here. Okay? Matthew 7. Let's see what Jesus warned about right after giving the Sermon on the Mount and showing how then that we need to keep the commandments in the Spirit. Notice how he ends the Sermon on the Mount. Remember he said, chapter 5 and verse 17, do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish or fulfill. Now notice the sum of the Sermon on the Mount, where he showed us how we need to obey in the Spirit. Verse 12. Therefore, everything that you would have men do to you, so also do to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now let's go on. Would you say these two verses here in the Evangelical Bible look like they're easy? What do you have to give up? Do you have to go to your boss and say, well, I need the Sabbath off? I remember when I first asked for the Sabbath off, I was working in Kibbe's restaurant up in Redwood City. I was working at night, and I had counseled for baptism. You know, went down to Pasadena and counseled for baptism, and they said, well, you're not ready. You're not keeping the Sabbath. And I was still eating bacon and tomato sandwiches then, too, by the way. And so I figured, boy, I really need to get with it. I really need to, you know, do something. So I came back, and I worked at that restaurant. I would work any shift, and I was known to work 16 hours, 7 days a week, all during the summer, to earn enough money to pay my way in college. So here I come in, and the boss is there, and I says, I can't work Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown. And his jaw dropped and his mouth opened. And he looked at me and said, why? I said, because of my religion. He looked at me and said, when did you become religious? I said, okay, if I can't do it, I'm out of here. Hold on. Don't do anything rash. I'll go look at the schedule. So he looked at the schedule, and he couldn't figure it out. So I said, would you mind if I looked at the schedule? So I went back, looked at the schedule, and I worked it out this way. I swapped with the guy who worked Friday morning because he was happy to have Friday morning off because he had to do all the prep for all the Saturday business, see, from 8 until 4. Perfect. I get off before sundown. And then I told the guy who was working, and I was working some of the graveyard shift, and I know why they call it the graveyard, because you're digging your grave. Okay? And I said, okay, I'll come in Saturday night. And that began at 1 in the morning. So it was actually Sunday morning. And then I had Tuesday off. So that worked out okay. See? But with this kind of thing, do anything you want. Eat anything you want. Just be nice. Just be good. All right? Let's read on chapter 7 here. Here's what Jesus says. Okay? Enter in through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many, wherever you see many, that means what? The majority. What did he say in another chapter there? Many are called, but few are chosen because few repent. All right? Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many, the majority, are those who enter in through it. For narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Now, after that warning, notice what he says. But beware of false prophets. Now, what did he say in the last days? There will be many coming in my name saying, I am the Christ. Many people professing to be Christians. All right? Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, for within they are ravening wolves. Now, when they have their way, can a wolf be nice and friendly? Oh, yeah. Look at how nice they are when they're not aggressive and they have everyone in control. I mean, watch a wolf pack sometime, okay? When that chief alpha male has everybody in control, they're all loving him and fawning him and licking him and submitting to him, right? But if one of them starts to go out of the way on his own, bam, he comes and gets them, right? Yeah, same way here. The wolf's character does not come out until you start bringing them the truth. Then it comes out. Within, you don't see it. They can be nice and sweet and lovely and all that sort of thing, but they're ravening wolves. And the way you find out is say, hey, How about if we keep the Sabbath? Hey, how about if we quit Sunday and Christmas and Easter and New Year's and Halloween and all of that? How about if we keep the Passover, unleavened bread, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, tabernacles, and the last great day, as the Bible says? Don't you think that would be a good idea for you to bring a sermon this next Sunday as your last Sunday sermon, so we could all start doing that in 2 weeks? The wolf would come out. Okay. You shall know them by their fruits. They do not gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles, do they? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a corrupt tree produces evil fruit. Huh. Wonder what's happening in the Vatican today, huh? A good tree cannot produce evil fruit, nor can a corrupt tree produce good fruit. Every tree that is not producing good fruit is cut down and is cast into the fire. Is that happening to you evangelicals? Is that happening to the Catholics, where their cathedrals are getting more and more empty, where they've had to sell them to pay off the pedophilia suits that they have had of child molestation? How can that be of God? Is God judging them and cutting them down? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Therefore, you shall assuredly know them by their fruits. Now listen to this carefully, because here is what the evangelicals do. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. A lot of people say, Lord, Lord, do you love the Lord? Go to a Sunday-keeping church, say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, do you love the Lord? That's not the question. Here is the question. What are you doing? Notice the second half of this verse. But the one who is doing the will of my Father who is in heaven shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Right? What is the will of the Father? All his commandments, truth? Are they all right? Are they all good? Yes, indeed. Okay. Now notice verse 22. All right, before we go to verse 22. Who gave the will of the Father to us? Jesus Christ. He spoke it, he taught it, those were his words. He says, the words that I'm speaking to you, I'm not speaking of myself, but the Father who sent me taught me what I should say and do, right? Gave me a commandment, right? Yes. Okay. So the will of the Father is expressed in the New Testament and the teachings of Jesus Christ, including all of his teachings, all of his words, right? Yes. Notice what's going to happen Resurrection Day. Surprise! Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy through your name? And did we not cast out demons through your name? And did we not perform many works of power through your name? We built churches. We had cathedrals. We had, everything. We had hundreds of millions of Christians. Here's a surprise. Then I will confess to them, I never knew you. All right? Hold your place here. Come to the Epistle of 1 John. All right? Epistle of 1 John. Now, John gives the standard here, tells us how we know him. Very important, because if you hear him, believe him, and obey him, then you are going to know Christ, and you're going to know the Father, you're going to know what his will is. 1 John 2, let's pick it up here in verse 3. 1 John 2 and verse 3. All right? By this standard we know that we know him. You have to have something concrete. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It is actual obedience that gives you the knowledge of God and to know him in a relationship. If we keep his commandments. Now then, notice verse 4. The one who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him, regardless of what they profess, regardless whether they use the Bible and even read scriptures from it but misapply it, they are liars. That's what they are. Notice what we need to be aiming for. Verse 5. Okay? On the other hand, if anyone is keeping his word, truly in this one, the love of God is being perfected, and by this means we know that we are in him. And notice a further obligation here. Verse 6. Anyone who claims to dwell in him is obligating himself. You're duty-bound before God to also to walk even as he himself walked. Are you walking as Jesus walked? Are you walking in the footsteps of Jesus? Do you keep the Sabbath? Do you keep the holy days? Do you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul and being? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Do you even pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you? What are you doing? All right. Let's come back here to Matthew, the 7th chapter, see. Verse 23. Let's read that again. Then I will confess to them, I never knew you. Even though they knew his name, Lord, Lord. Even though they did many things, right? But if you don't practice the will of the Father in heaven above, keep his commandments, and if you don't continually yield to God and led of his Holy Spirit, you have a religion. You do not have a relationship with God. Now notice, then I will confess to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who work lawlessness. Now, lawlessness is quite a thing. There are two forms of lawlessness. One, you are a complete anarchist and you don't believe in any law. Now, that's almost a good Protestant. The other form of lawlessness is this. You accept some of the laws of God, but you add your own and you take away at your own convenience, and that's the worst kind of lawlessness. Okay? All right, there we go. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness. Therefore, notice how this answers, this verse 24 answers John 5:24. All right, let me read John 5:24 from the Lightweight Evangelical Bible. All right? Verily, verily, I say to you, he that hears my word, that's his whole message, and believes on me that sent me, believes on him rather that sent me, has everlasting life. All right? Let's see what you're supposed to be doing here. Verse 24, because you see, you must let the Bible interpret the Bible. You cannot read verses in isolation. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and practices them, I will compare him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain came down, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon the house, but it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. And who is the rock? Christ. You're built on Jesus Christ, the true Christ. See? And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not practice them and sets them aside and says we don't have to do them, we only need two verses. Yes, fast track to salvation. The broad way. Oh, it's so easy. All you have to do is just believe. Remember, James said the demons believe. Are they going to receive salvation? But if you believe in this, you're believing just like the demons. You don't want to obey God. does not practice them shall be compared to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain came down, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, those are some strong words. Now, it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these words, the multitudes were amazed at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. All right. It's a good place to go ahead and end this segment here. So we'll pick it up real soon, and we will continue on with number 10 of Bible Answer to the Evangelicals.